Pardon?
Just to let you know that we had a good evening last night. This night, lots of people came along. It was an opportunity to share a little something from God's Word. Thank you to those of you who came along, but also thank you to those of you who prayed about it. Shall we turn in our Bibles this morning to the book of Esther? Esther in chapter 1. Again, some of my shouting out the page number, please. 501 in the church Bibles. Now, I've bought a new NIV Bible. This is the same edition as the one the church now has. The trouble is, it's so new, it's so shiny, that it just keeps sliding down. So I have to spend most of this morning holding on to it. Never mind. Esther chapter 1, starting to read from verse 1. This is what happened during the time of Xerxes. The Xerxes, who ruled over 127 provinces stretching from India to Kush. At that time, King Xerxes reigned from his royal throne in the citadel of Susa, and in the third year of his reign, he gave a banquet for all his nobles and officials. The military leaders of Persia and Media, the princes and the nobles of the provinces were present. For a full 180 days he displayed the vast wealth of his kingdom and the splendor and glory of his majesty. When these days were over, the king gave a banquet lasting 7 days in the enclosed garden of the king's palace. For all the people from the least to the greatest who were in the citadel of Susa, The garden had hangings of white and blue linen, fastened with cords of white linen and purple material to silver rings on marble pillars. There were couches of gold and silver on a mosaic pavement of porphyry, marble, mother of pearl, and other costly stones. Wine was served in goblets of gold, each one different from the other, and the royal wine was abundant, in keeping with the king's liberality. By the king's command, each guest was allowed to drink with no restrictions, for the king instructed all the wine stewards to serve each man what he wished. Queen Vashti also gave a banquet for the women in the royal palace of King Xerxes. And on the seventh day, when King Xerxes was in high spirits from wine, he commanded the seven eunuchs who served him, and there are their names, I'm not going to try and pronounce them, to bring before him Queen Vashti, wearing her royal crown, in order to display her beauty to the people and nobles, for she was lovely to look at. But when the attendants delivered the king's command, Queen Vashti refused to come. Then the king became furious and burned with anger. Since it was customary for the king to consult experts in matters of law and justice, he spoke with the wise men who understood the times and were closest to the king. Again, there are some names which you can read for yourselves. The seven nobles of Persia and Media who had special access to the king and were highest in the kingdom. According to law, what must be done for Queen Vashti, he asked. She has not obeyed the command of King Xerxes that the eunuchs have taken to her. Then, Memucan replied in the presence of the king and the nobles, Queen Vashti has done wrong, not only against the king, but also against all the nobles and all the peoples of all the provinces of King Xerxes. For the queen's conducts will become known to all women, so they will despise their husbands and say, King Xerxes commanded Queen Vashti to be brought before him, but she would not come. This very day, the Persian and Median women of the nobility who have heard about the queen's conduct will respond to all the king's nobles in the same way. There will be no end of disrespect and discord. Therefore, if it pleases the king, let him issue a royal decree, and let it be written in the laws of Persia and Media, which cannot be repealed, that Vashti is never again to enter the presence of King Xerxes. Also, let the king give her royal position to someone else who is better than she. Then when the king's edict is proclaimed throughout all his vast realm, all the women will respect their husbands, from the least to the greatest. The king and his nobles were pleased with his advice, so the king did as Mendicant proposed. He sent dispatches to all parts of the kingdom, to each province in its own script, and to each people in their own language, proclaiming that every man should be ruler over his own household, using his native tongue. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, as we come to look at your word this morning, we ask that you would speak to us very clearly. Encourage us along our way. Challenge us, cause us to think about how to live our lives before you. Point us to Jesus, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Why are you here this morning? What has influenced you to be here? Is it because you're keen to uphold traditional values? Is it because you feel the need for company or for fellowship? Is it because you've been made to come? I remember for the first 18 years of my life, I was made to go to church. Or is it because you want to worship God and learn from God? Maybe it's none of these. Maybe it's all or some of these. When you go home after this meeting, what will you do? How will you behave? What will influence what you do and the way that you behave? When it comes to 5 p.m. and there's an opportunity to meet with God's people once again, what or who will determine your decision to come or perhaps not to come? Why are you behaving the way that you are right now? Why are you listening to and not shouting abuse at them? Or perhaps inwardly you are shouting abuse at them and are not listening to. What sort of things influence our decision making and our behaviour? What makes us live the way that we do? What sort of things shape and fashion us? Young people, what sort of things are going to shape and fashion the rest of your lives here upon this earth? Well, once again, we're looking at this first chapter of the book of Esther, which sets the scene for the rest of the story. Once again, our focus is going to be upon King Xerxes. And I want to tell his story. But as I said last week, I don't want to simply give history lessons on the life and times of the king of Persia. I want to point to Jesus and apply the word of God to our lives. So what we will do this morning is to look at two things that influence the decision-making and behavior of Xerxes, and then we'll look beyond Xerxes to Jesus in order to consider two things that influence his decision-making and behavior. And along the way, we'll be asking the question as to what influences our decision-making and behavior. So then, what influenced our great King, the Lord Jesus, in his decision-making and behavior? Well, firstly, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Was it the Holy Spirit who influenced Xerxes in his decision-making and behavior? Sadly not. Let's look at the text, verse 10. On the seventh day, when Xerxes was high in spirits from wine, he commanded, and so on. Xerxes had been partying hard. Look at what had been going on all week. Verses 7 and 8, wine was served in goblets of gold, each one different from the other, and the royal wine was abundant in keeping with the king's liberality. By the king's command, each guest was allowed to drink with no restrictions, for the king instructed all the wine stewards to serve each man what he wished. Xerxes was in high spirits from all the wine that he had consumed. I would argue that at the very least, he was kidding. Is that a word that people use these days? That's a word that I've used in the past and continue to use. But I think it's more likely that he was intoxicated, that he was drunk. It was alcohol, therefore, that influenced his decision-making this one particular day that we read about here. And the alcohol influenced him in two particular ways. Firstly, it influenced him to make a bad request. It influenced him to make a bad request. What we see is Xerxes commanding his seven eunuchs to bring Queen Vashti before him, wearing her crown, so that he could display her beauty. Now you might ask, why was this so bad? Well, because strangers were not allowed, they were not permitted to look at the beauty of Persian wives. And I think that this makes her refusal understandable. She did not want to be paraded like a piece of furniture in front of lots of drunken men. The alcohol also influenced his ability to control his temper. When she refused to obey him, to come to him, the text says, verse 12, that he burned with anger. He lost his temper because her refusal made him look back. He was a king who was very concerned about the way that he looked, concerned about his image. What does the book of Proverbs say? Fools show their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook an insult. Of course, we could argue that the Xerxes could have displayed anger despite all the wine. I mean, he was a man that seems to have regularly displayed his anger. If we turn very quickly over to chapter 7 and verse 7, we read this. The king got up in rage, left his wine, and went out of the palace garden. He was a man who was used to entering into fits of rage, but I dare say that he would have had a much better chance of controlling his temper had he not been influenced by so much wine. What a contrast how King Jesus is to Xerxes. You see, his decisions and actions were never influenced by too much wine. We might ask the question this morning, did Jesus ever drink wine? Did he drink the wine at the wedding at Cana? Did he drink the wine as he celebrated the Passover with his disciples? Probably. But wine or alcohol never influenced his decision making or his behavior. What influenced the Lord Jesus from the beginning of his life all the way through to the end of it was the Holy
Spirit.
His life was a life lived out in the fullness and the power of the Holy Spirit. And listen to what Paul tells us is the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, he says, there is no law. But some might say this morning, but didn't Jesus get angry? Yes, he did get angry. You're thinking of the time when Jesus entered into the temple and drove out of the temple courts all who were buying and selling. He became angry because his father's house had become a den of robbers. Ridiculous sums of money were being charged for people wanting to exchange their money so that they could put it into the temple treasury. Ridiculous sums of money were being charged so that people could buy sacrifice to offer to God upon the altar. But let's not assume for a moment that Jesus' anger was a sinful anger. Jesus' anger was a righteous anger. It was not wild or uncontrolled. It was a perfectly measured anger. How do we know this? Well, we know this firstly because the New Testament tells us that he lived a perfect life. But we also know this because the text in the Gospels tells us that he turned over the tables of the money changers, but only turned over the seats or the benches of those who were selling doves. In other words, he made sure that he did not harm the persons or the animal. It was a measured anger, a righteous anger, a justified anger. You see, Jesus' life was continually influenced by the Holy Spirit. And I'm so glad that Jesus' life was influenced by the Holy Spirit and not by wine. Because it was so fundamental that he lived a perfect life, a righteous life. He needed to earn a righteous might be credited to our account through faith in him, so that we can stand before a holy God. It's fashionable today in the Western world to drink wine and other alcoholic beverages to excess. But not only does the Bible repeatedly forbid drunkenness, it tells us that those who willingly and persistently get drunk apart from repentance will not inherit the kingdom of God. That is how serious it is. Writing for the churches in Galatia, Paul writes, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. There's good reason, isn't there, why God forbids drunken behavior? It leads to bad decision making. It leads to unwanted pregnancy, violence, personal and corporate injury, indifference to other people's feelings, embarrassing and shameful behavior. And we can go on this way. God wants his people to be a sober-minded people, and to be fully dedicated to him at all times. Rather than being filled with wine, he wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Listen to what Paul writes to the believers in Ephesus. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Now, of course, we mustn't be driven to extremes when it comes to the matter of wine and other alcoholic beverages. The Bible speaks of wine as being among God's good gifts. It speaks of wine as being a natural part of food and drink. The Bible tells us that wine is something that gladdens the heart. Now, I would want to be quick to add that it is folly to see it as a means of achieving happiness and contentment. The Bible also teaches us that wine has medicinal value. Paul said to Timothy that he should drink a little wine for the well-being of his stomach. But it's when it is consumed in an excessive way that it becomes not only unhelpful but positively sinful. It goes Jesus in his decision making and in his actions, not too much wine. The Holy Spirit. Friends, it is the Holy Spirit that we ought to be filled with every single day, so that we might live to the glory of God too. Secondly, the wisdom of God. What influence the decision making and behaviour of our King, the Lord Jesus? The wisdom of God. But before we think about Jesus, let's think again what influenced the decision making of King Xerxes. What influenced him? Well, as we can see from verse 13, it was his wise men. It was customary for these wise men to give him regular advice. Interestingly, secular historians tell us that Xerxes often didn't have a clear mind on matters and continually looked to such counselors for advice. Verse 13 tells us that these men were experts in the law. Verse 13 also tells us that they were men who understood the times. Verse 14 tells us that they were men who had regular access to the king. They were around him a lot of the time. These were the men who were influencing his life, his decision making. And we see this morning that King Xerxes encountered something of a problem. He commanded his wife, his queen, to come to him, and she refused. How should he handle her disobedience? He recognized that her disobedience would have a profound effect on other women throughout the rest of the empire. It would surely lead to them thinking that they could disobey their husbands too. And if that happened, there would be endless discord and disruption. Well, the advice that Xerxes was given was to issue a decree banning Vashti from the king's presence and to strip her of her royal position and to give it to someone else. Verse 19. And to proclaim this decree throughout his vast realm. Well, he was pleased with it. And he acted upon this advice. Look at verse 22. He sent dispatches to all the parts of the kingdom, to each province, its own script, and each people in their own language, proclaiming that every man should be ruler over his household using his native tongue. Now, in the light of these verses, am I going to speak about men and women's roles within the context of the home and in the church? No, I'm not. And the reason I'm not going to do this is because I don't think that this is really what the book of Esther is about. And I don't think that we ought to take our cue from a wicked Persian king, or for that matter, a pagan queen. We should want to take our cue from the way God created men and women, and the principles given through the teaching of the apostles. So we're not going to take our cue this morning about the roles of men and women from these verses. We would want to go elsewhere in order to do that. Having said that, I do want to pick up on the way that we influence other people by our words and our actions. Xerxes was in danger of influencing particularly the men, I believe, by the way that he behaved. Particularly at the party. Queen Vashti was in danger of influencing other women by her disobedience to her king and her husband. You know, I wonder sometimes whether we think about this enough. I wonder whether I think about this enough. So whoever we are, whatever our age might be, we are continually influencing others by our example. I don't know whether I should share this morning, but I will. A few weeks ago, I was rather frustrated, if I'm being honest, with Joanne being and I was speaking to her in a way that wasn't particularly kind. What I was really doing was unloading all of my frustration upon her. Well, without wanting to embarrass this young lady too much, I heard her doing something similar. See, to my shame, I was influencing others, and in a negative way, rather than in a positive way. And I'm sure we all identify with this in some way or another. God help us to be good examples to others around us, particularly those of us who are in positions of responsibility. Parents, grandparents, school teachers, church leaders. Well, if pagan wise men influence Xerxes in his decision-making and behavior, what influenced Jesus? Well, the answer is the wisdom of God. Well, when we read the Gospels, when we see that Jesus grew in wisdom as a man. How did he grow in wisdom? Well, through reading and studying the scriptures from his youth. Do you remember how when he was only 12 he went into the temple, there he chatted with the religious authorities, and he baffled them by his amazing understanding. Do you remember that Jesus, many years later, was tempted by Satan in the wilderness? And Jesus repeatedly said no to temptation. You see, his life was a life that was influenced by the wisdom of God, or by the teachings of the scriptures. From a young boy, he would have immersed himself in the scriptures. It's amazing, isn't it? Actually, as we read the New Testament, to see how many times that Jesus quotes the Old Testament. I've been struggling to read my way through the book of Deuteronomy. Jesus quotes Deuteronomy endlessly in his earthly ministry. What did Jesus pray? What did Jesus see? Well, the answer to those questions is the Psalms. He would have known the Psalms back to front, absolutely immersed in them. Jesus' life was influenced by the wisdom of God. He lived a life according to the word of God. And as believers this morning, aren't we so glad that Jesus chose to go God's way every step of his life? Aren't we so glad that whilst he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours." We needed a Savior who was willing to obey the wisdom, the voice, the teaching of God, all the way. way to the cross. Because apart from his death upon the cross, as Laurie has already said loud and clear this morning, there is no salvation. Apart from the cross, we remain in our sins, but Jesus died in order that all who trusted, all who looked to him, might be forgiven and cleansed from their every sin. It was the Holy Spirit and the wisdom of God that influenced the life of Jesus. What is going to influence you and I this week? The media? What an influence they seem to be on so many lives. Our peers? How easy it is to be influenced by our peers. The culture in which we live. Do we even realize, I wonder, how much we are all influenced by the culture in which we live? I would dare to say that we're all influenced in ways that we perhaps cannot even fully appreciate. Of course, these things may not always be wrong. But one thing is sure this morning, the wisdom of God will always be right and will never fail us. Let's be encouraged to know God's word, to submerse ourselves in it and live according to it in the strength of the Holy Spirit. It would be easy for someone, I suppose, this morning to say, well, of course, you know, Jesus would have immersed himself in the book of Deuteronomy because he was God. Remember, Jesus read the book of Deuteronomy as a young boy. As one who was fully boy. We're used to saying fully man, aren't we? But let me say this morning, fully boy. What's to stop us from immersing ourselves in the book of Deuteronomy or the book of Leviticus or the Psalms or whatever else it might be? You know, the wonderful thing is that we have been set free from the curse of the law in order that we might be free to serve God according to his ways without fear in the power of the Holy Spirit. I know it's not easy to live according to the word of God. It wasn't for Jesus, was it? To think of the cross. And maybe living according to God's wisdom or according to God's word will lead us along difficult paths too. It is almost, well, it is destined to, I think. But surely we must see it as our privilege and our joy to walk with Jesus as redeemed sinners. According to his wise. We must see it as a joy, must we? To walk with Jesus according to his ways and not a bird. What's influencing our lives? What will influence our lives this coming week? May it be the Holy Spirit. May it indeed be the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord God, we do thank you for your word to us this morning. And we pray that you help us to take it in. May your Holy Spirit apply it to our lives. Hear our prayer. In Jesus' name we ask.